Hey everyone, welcome to this week's sermon podcast of Be Church. Here, you can listen to our latest weekly sermons for your spiritual growth. We believe that this message will really bless you.
And everybody says, amen. You may be seated. Come on, let's give them a round of applause. Amen. Did you enjoy the worship?
Yes.
Sabrina's my sister-in-law, and she really does something for me. So I thought maybe this morning I'm going to just have a stand there and play the piano for 45 minutes while we... Say amen. I'm excited to share a word with you that I believe is in season, that the Holy Spirit ministered to my heart. But before we start, Lee and I had a bit of a... Is it a tussle? And she made it very clear that if I don't do what I'm going to do now, she will not put my words on the screen this morning when I read the scriptures. Amen? So Lee, here we go. Church, are you ready?
Yes.
Take your Bible. Lift it up. Lift up your cell phone, your Bible, what you have. And declare this with me and say it like you mean it. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I have what it says I have.
And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the word of God. My mind is alert. And I will never be the same. All right, let's just say that again. I boldly confess, say that. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive, and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's give a round of applause. Are you happy, Lee? The Bible says that we can come boldly to His throne of grace. We enter His gates and His courts with thanksgiving and with praise. And we can come boldly to His throne of grace. And I want to ask you this morning, when last did you boldly approach the throne of grace? Boldly. Look at your neighbor. I'm not talking about you being bold, amen. I'm saying boldly to the throne of grace. Look at your neighbor. So I'm ready and I'm bold. Amen. All right, I want you to sit forward, lean in. I want you to preach with me this morning. Amen. You're not going to sit there like you're busy on a Sunday cruise and you're going to expect me to just project the word of God on you. You have a responsibility to engage and understand what the Holy Spirit has to say for you. Say amen. I'm going to make a statement, and this is what it says. My elevation is determined by my actions, but my actions are a reflection of my appetite. My actions are a reflection of my appetite. Do you have appetite for the Word of God? Do you have an appetite for His presence? Come on, guys, look at me. I'm asking you a question. So you're going to say either yes or no. Do you have an appetite for the Word of God? The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing through the Word of Christ. When we preach a resurrected Savior, there's a release of power. Amen? But we're going to have an appetite. So I want to stir in you a hunger and an appetite, not only for this morning, but for what I believe we're moving into. Say amen. Amen. All right, this is what the Word says. We're going to jump straight into the Bible. That's a good place to start on a Sunday morning. And I want to tell you a story about Jesus addressing certain people in a certain way, which really stirred my heart. And there's a story about about Jesus that goes to a guy, his name is Matthew. Say Matthew. Or Levi. Say Levi. Jesus goes to Matthew Levi. He encounters him at a tax office. Okay, so let's make it. Can I give you the street version? Is that fine? Can I give you this version? And then we're going to read the word after that. So I want you to see this. Jesus is walking. He's going past tax offices. Okay, and there's a guy sitting here. And Jesus goes straight up to him. He says, I want you to quit your job and I want you to follow me. I want you to be a disciple. Okay? And Matthew's like, okay, I'm in. And very short after that, the same Matthew, Levi, throws a party. He invites all his friends, all his tax collectors, all the branch managers, all the everybody, all the unrighteous people, say amen. And he invites them to a party. And then also invites Jesus. Okay? Now, to me, when I just read that, it's inspiring. Because I believe when Jesus met with Matthew, he started speaking to him about destiny. He started speaking to him about purpose. He started speaking to him about God's call on his life and what is ahead of him in this season. And I believe it changed something in Matthew's heart. And that's why I said, listen, guys, I want you to meet this guy. His name's Jesus. Okay? We're going to meet at my house, bring snacks, bring whatever you want, and they're going to meet Jesus. And while they're sitting in his house, we've got some Pharisees there, some scribes, we've got John there. And one of them goes to Jesus and he posts a question and he says this, Jesus, why is it that we are fasting, that we are praying, but your disciples are feasting? Let me give you some background so you understand where the question comes from. In Jewish history, they had to fast on the Day of Atonement. Okay? But then later in Judaism, it grew into a more religious practice where the Jews fasted on Mondays and Thursdays, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Every Monday, every Thursday, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Matthew, who is a Jew, but an agent of the Roman Empire, is not a very likable guy amongst the Jews. And he just happens to choose either Monday or Thursday to throw his wonderful party. Say amen? That's where the question comes from. Why are you guys feasting while we are fasting? There's a reason. And this is the response, and we're going to go through it quickly this morning. Matthew 9, verse 9, if you can read with me. It says, and Jesus passed on from there. He saw a man called Matthew sitting at a tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. And Jesus reclined at a table in the house. Behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. Okay? Can you see this picture? And then it says, and when the Pharisees saw this, they said to the disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? But when he heard it, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. And when I read this, it really stirred my heart because Jesus did something completely different here. He came into a world. He knew when he went to Matthew's house that it was a day to fast. Do you know that? Do you know that Jesus knew this? Or do you think it's a coincidence? You think Jesus just said, oh goodness, when he got there, he realized that, oh, we were supposed to fast today. He knew what he was doing. So he's going to Matthew's house, sitting in between the sinners, the tax collectors, waiting for this question. Okay. And what I find fascinating is, instead of training his disciples to fast like the saints, he exposes them to feast with the sinners. Wanted to hear me this morning. Instead of Jesus choosing this specific day set out to fast with the saints, he exposes his disciples to feasting with sinners. Say amen. And when Apostle Wilmer and I had a conversation in the week, something stirred my heart. And he said, the thing is, in church, we are creating disciples, not believers. We've come to a place where we're so focused on discipling people in church that we forget we need people to believe first before they can come to church. We've become so, I want you to hear my heart this morning, guys. We've become so focused on discipling in church that we forget the Great Commission. That we forget that we have a responsibility to go into the world and preach the gospel so that people can be baptized and saved so that they can be part of this discipleship. You know why? Because it's comfortable. It's comfortable to move amongst those you know. It is comfortable to fast on a Monday and a Thursday and stand with your friends and ask a question if this is what you know and do. But I believe embedded in this question, why? It's not about why we are fasting and you are feasting. I think what they were saying was this: Jesus, why are you hanging out with sinners? Jesus, why are you approving the lifestyle of these people? Jesus, why do you have tax collectors as disciples? These are the concerns raised by the righteous. Are you with me? And Jesus responds, and we're going to touch on that this morning and learn something. It's normal. So asking questions are normal. This is what Jesus responds, verse 14. It says, then the disciples of John came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment, and a worse tear is made. And it says, neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skins burst and the wine is spilled and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved. And we're going to touch on that this morning. We see three responses from Jesus. He answers one question, makes three statements. Should we fast while the bridegroom is still here? Should we take an old piece of cloth and sew it to a new garment? Three statements. And it really stirred my heart when I heard that response and read what the word says, because we've come to a place, guys, where we've prioritized things over people. We've come to a place in our lives where we've started prioritizing things over people. That second your church becomes more important than the people in your church, you're doomed to fail. That second your business becomes more important than the people it employs, you're doomed to fail. That second when that house or that vehicle, whatever you need, becomes more important than the people surrounding what God wants to do, you're doomed to fail. And I believe Jesus expresses something about spending time and choosing people over religious practices. So I know it's Monday, guys, or I know it's Thursday, but I know something else, that there's a guy called here, Matthew, and he's got friends, and they're going to become disciples. And in fact, he's going to become a preacher, and he's going to save some people. There's a responsibility around people, surrounding people, and us involving them. Say amen. And I want to really encourage you when we go through this now to understand, guys, listen. We always say this, you can't take anything to heaven, nothing, except people, except souls. If you want, the Bible says, Joseph asked the prison prospered on Joseph's account. If you want to excel and accelerate, then minister to God's people. Involve His people. Involve the body of Christ. A lady once said, you can never minister to people unless you love them. So when there's something in my heart, you know what I do? I ask God to give me a prophetic word for that person that's working my nerves so that I can start praying for them, and then God gives me compassion. Amen. Do you have people that works your nerves? Take their names, write it on your wall, and when you go in there, start blessing them. Say, Father, I bless this one. I bless that one. Give me a word. Let me pray for them. And then the Bible, and then God gives us compassion. Because we people, amen. My wife's name is on top. No, I'm kidding. I'm praying for her every morning. But if we involve people, if we involve the gift, God moves. I want you to know, guys, it's all about people. It's not about system. It's not about religious practices. It's about people. This church exists because of people. The body of Christ exists because of people. And we have to get back to that place where we understand that it's all about people and that we have a responsibility. Amen. Bridegroom doesn't expect his guest to fast when he's with them. And I believe what Jesus is saying here is that I've ushered in a new season, a season of joy, a season of rejoicing, a season of abundant life, a season of forgiveness, a season of grace. He says Judaism was good, but it now stopped serving its purpose because Jesus came into the earth. The one who brought grace, the one who brought salvation came into the earth, and something new happened. And you and I have to be sensitive to the seasons, to the times, and what God is doing in the season. Otherwise, we're going to find ourselves complaining about people feasting while we're fasting. Say amen. I want you to hear me this morning. If we're not sensitive to what God is doing in the season, we're going to find ourselves complaining about people feasting while we're fasting. And God is saying, I'm doing a new thing. Shift what you are doing and align your activities with what God is doing in the season. See, if the Pharisees shifted and aligned themselves with what was busy happening in the earth in that moment, they would have understood. But they didn't. And they complained. And you and I have to change and shift our activities to come in line with what God is doing in this season, in this church, in the body of Christ, in our lives. Amen? Bible says, do not put a piece of new cloth on an old garment to patch it. See, these two things are not compatible. So what Jesus is saying is, when it's not compatible with the old, it's best that we do not patch the old with the new. I want you to hear me this morning. If it is not compatible with the old, it's best that we don't patch it with the new. That's what the Bible says. Because we end up making things worse. I'll share with you Revelation here. We have to be sensitive and understand and recognize when the old has served its purpose. When we are not sensitive to recognize when the old has served its purpose, we're constantly taking a piece of the new and sewing it onto the old. This is the thing about us, eh? We don't accept anything unless we can patch it or fit it into the old. And you mean? I'm looking at some of the older people. They're like, guys, the Bible says, behold, I'm doing a new thing today. Behold, I'm doing a new thing today. And I believe that there's a new thing happening in the body of Christ. We're already in it. And often at times we get frustrated and we struggle because we're trying to fit this new thing into the old. We're so entrenched and embedded in what we know and what we've seen that we struggle to comprehend what God wants to do because we're just trying to find a space, where can I fit this? Where can this movement fit into what I know? You and I have a responsibility to be thankful for the old because it served a purpose. And then we have to say goodbye to the old because it served a purpose and embrace the new and embrace what God wants to do in this season. I believe there's going to be a mind shift and a change in the way we approach certain things in the body of Christ, because what we're doing is new into the earth. And we are not going to be able to execute this if we're trying to fit this into the old. If we're trying to find a place to put it. Because it's new. And this is what it says. For us to progress, we have to let go of what was. For the body of Christ to progress, we have to let go of what was. And then Jesus goes further and he says this in point number 3. Do not put new wine into old wineskins. See, when wine is fermented, it creates a gas. Anzal and I had the wonderful privilege to look at this whole process last weekend. And it just made the word come so alive when you're standing on this place and you're actually understanding what the word says. But when it goes through a process of fermenting, it creates a gas, and that gas builds up a pressure. Okay? Can get ugly. They've actually, the lids on our rubber for in case they come out because people get injured. So back in the Bible, we had wine skins, which were made of animal skin. And it's different now. But this is the point. When there's a pressure building up and we're not creating space for that pressure to move, it explodes. And when a wineskin is old, it becomes set in his ways. It's taken on a certain shape. In other words, it's not elastic anymore. Does it sound like people? Does it sound like we get set in a certain way and we've been used 2 or 3 times and then this is now who we are and we're fixed? And we're not flexible anymore. And when a certain pressure comes through a process, we just explode. Because we cannot take this pressure. I want you to hear me this morning. This is what the word says. Jesus is saying, if you want to introduce new wine, you have to make sure that the structure, the wineskin, are able to accommodate the new wine. And you and I have a responsibility to be flexible and adaptable to create space for the new wine, for what God wants to do in the season. Because if we don't, we're going to explode. If we don't, we're going to explode. New wine skin equals new wine. Guys, I'm preaching to myself, amen. We sit in our ways. We sit in our ways. We sit in the way we're doing church. We sit in the way we go about business. We sit in the way we do certain things. And I believe for this new season where God is pouring out new wine, we're going to have to be flexible. We're going to have to be adaptable. We're going to have to make space for God to move. And we're going to have to renew the way we think, renew the way we move. Are you with me? Okay. My question to you is, will you have the capacity to stretch and adapt to what is new in this season? Will you have the capacity to stretch and adapt to what is new in this season? See, to get a new wineskin is a choice. You have to make a choice to let go of the old wineskin and bring a new one. It doesn't happen itself. It's a choice you and I have to make. To say, Lord, we want to be new wineskins. We want to be flexible. We want to be adaptable in the season so that both can be preserved. It's a choice. Are you willing to be flexible? Guys, are you with me? Some of you like this, some of you like this, some of you like this. You're not sure yet. Say amen. We're going to be flexible in the season so that God can be glorified. It's by His grace, but it's for His glory. This is the problem. Then we're going to continue. The problem is if we don't create capacity to become flexible, we become a hindrance instead of a facilitator of the new wine. If you remain an old wineskin in the season, you become a hindrance to what God wants to do instead of a facilitator. Am I so close to you guys this morning? Am I close to you guys? I like this. This is my heart's desire for us. As we sang that song this morning, it's all about Jesus. That we will get to a place where we say, Lord, we want to be facilitators of your presence. We want to be facilitators of your glory. We want to see your kingdom advance. And if it's new wineskins, then we will take new wineskins. If we have to be flexible, we'll be flexible. If we have to adapt, we'll adapt. But the reality is the new wine is coming. So you can either adapt or explode. Let me say that again. The new wine is coming. You can either adapt or explode. That's your choice. But I know that you and I have a responsibility to be flexible. The Bible says in John 10:10, it says, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it in abundance. Thief comes to kill, steal and destroy, but the Bible says, and he comes, Jesus is the way, the truth and the life, and he comes to give life and give life in abundance. Are you living an abundant life? Say yes, amen. I spoke to someone one day on this and he really challenged me. He said, the thief comes to kill, steal and destroy. And I said, yes, and the word says, but then God comes and gives life and life in abundance. He says, this is what we don't understand. The thief will wait for your children to be 65 years old before he takes them out. 68 years old. He's not in a hurry. He doesn't have to take out your children today. He can wait 40 years and then take them out. And when he said that, it started stirring my heart. And I realized that we have a responsibility, guys. Sorry, I'm going to children now, but this is the generations. To cultivate, give them Jesus. So that they can grow up in His presence and know and understand. And that's a continuous thing, amen? Because the Bible says a wise man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. It's twofold. We have to impart. And in the same way, that's when we do with the church. It's a continuous process. Amen? Say we get saved once and baptized once and we go to heaven once. That's it. That's your once. Amen? The rest is a process. There's a promise and a process and a purpose, and God reveals the promise in the purpose when we go through the process. And this process involves new wineskins. This process involves flexibility. This process involves being able to stretch the capacity. Sorry guys, I got braces, so I'm lisping and spitting. Praise God, amen. When I just got saved, I would love to sit like in front in church when preachers preach, like you can feel that sweat and when they spit on you. Amen? Bible says violent men takes his kingdom by force. All right? So we're going to be violent in the way we approach things. Say amen. We don't just go in a direction like, where are you going? I don't know, but I've got the wind from behind, so I'm going. It's not how we operate in church. Okay. It says the thief comes to steal, kill and destroy, and I came that you may have life. And life in abundance. So this is what I want to touch on quickly this morning. This was an introduction to this point. I read something from Dr. Darius that really stirred my heart. and minister to my spirit on this new season, new wine, stretching what we're going through, what we're trusting God for. And this is what he said. He said, God will create a divine dissatisfaction with what you have in order to create a desire for what you need. I'm going to say that again. God will create a divine dissatisfaction with what you have in order to create a desire for what you need. Say amen. So in other words, God will make us unsettled in something we previously settled for. God will make us unsettled in something that we previously settled for. One writer says, holy discontent. Bible says, godliness with contentment is of the greatest gain. But this writer speaks about a holy discontent. Have you ever had a holy discontent? A frustration, an agitation. You see, people don't like when we say agitated in church because, you know, Christians, we don't get agitated, we don't get frustrated. Joy comes in the morning. Amen. An agitation with certain things. God will make us unsettled with something we previously settled for. Okay? And it's not a lack of contentment in a literal sense. It's rather divine agitation. This is why. Your unique agitation is a reflection of your unique assignment. Your unique agitation, listen to me, your unique agitation is a reflection of your unique assignment. There's a reason why I get agitated with certain things and Andre doesn't. In fact, sometimes he agitates me. I'm kidding. Okay, are you with me? There's a reason why when we walk into a room, I have compassion for a certain thing, but Pastor Anzal doesn't have compassion for it. Doesn't mean she doesn't love Jesus. Doesn't mean it's because that unique agitation is unique to my function in serving a purpose and bringing resolving a problem. Your unique agitation is here because there's something you need to do about it. Sometimes we get frustrated and God allows that because God is saying, I want you to do something about it. And then what we do is we complain. Instead of doing something about the frustration, we complain. We always say frustration leads to impatience. Impatience produces the enemy of your promise. Ishmael, whatever we give birth to in the flesh must be sustained in the flesh, and that's why it's a problem to be frustrated. No, that's true. But if you're frustrated, the Holy Spirit is saying, I want you to do something about it. If your business frustrates you, change it. If church frustrates you, do something about it. Start praying, stop complaining. If you don't like the way you're being served coffee, then volunteer to come and serve coffee. Amen. Your unique agitation for your unique function, your assignment. This means that your purpose and my purpose answers different problems. So God will uniquely agitate you with the problem that you're supposed to solve. So just think about what you're agitated about for a second. Come on, close your eyes. You look at me like, what agitates you? Where do you have a holy discontent in your heart? Because it's that place where the Holy Spirit wants you to do something. I'm going to explain it to you now from the Bible. This is not something I made up, say amen. David is sent to bring food to his brothers. Where are they? Come on, guys. Exactly. And there's a function. He needs to take food, bring them food. When he gets to them, as this little boy, he sees all the Israelites standing there, puts down the food, turns around, he's like, excuse me, what did you say? You know what he said? He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine, amen, that dares to defile the living God? David had a unique agitation with Goliath because he was assigned to put that giant down. The whole of Israel was there. I want you to hear me this morning. The whole of Israel was there standing next to one another asking certain questions. When David comes from another place to bring food, immediately he's agitated. He says, but who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Because David had an assignment to bring Goliath down. So if there's a unique agitation, it means there's an assignment and you have the responsibility in this season to bring that giant down. Say amen. And I want to preach, Pastor Natasha, because I get agitated with certain things, and the more I complain about it, the more agitated I get. And then I realized I just have to do something about it. It's a giant we have to bring down. It's our responsibility. Say amen. On the other side of every great assignment is a unique agitation. Listen to this. On the other side of every great assignment is a unique agitation. Some of the greatest blessings were created as a result of burdens people carried. Some of the greatest blessings are a result of some of the burdens we carried. Says my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It doesn't say there's no burden. It says it's bearable. But we carry that burden so that we can bring a solution that needs to come into the earth for a generation after us, so that God can be glorified. We carry a certain agitation like David carried one for Goliath. Amen. So that we can do something about it. Because you and I are both assigned to something. The church is assigned. The body of Christ is assigned. Say amen. My question to you, what are you assigned to? What are you assigned to knock down in this season? Yolandi? What are you assigned to knock down in this season? Yaku, what are you assigned to knock down in this season? What are you assigned to knock down in this season? We're on an assignment. And if you want to knock that giant down, you're going to need one thing. Who knows what it is? Who can guess? New wineskins. Come on, I just got... You're going to need a new wineskin to knock that giant down in this season. You're going to have to be flexible and adaptable and make space for what God wants to do so that you can take that giant down. Say amen. Come on, guys. All right. I'm going to close. I want to take up an offering. 1 Peter 4:10 says the following. It says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Do you know when you serve the body of Christ with the gift God has given you, is a display of grace? Do you know, I don't feel threatened when my sister-in-law sings that well. Do you know why? Because God gave it to her. And she uses this gift to serve the body of Christ. Now when Andre started a business, parents become worried, and because we think in certain ways and do certain things, But when there's a gifting and it serves the body of Christ, grace is displayed. And you and I have a gift. And it's our responsibility in the season to serve the body of Christ with that gift. Because the Bible says it's stewardship and it's varied in grace. In other words, God displays His grace through us serving the body of Christ with our gifts. There's a translation that says, stir up the gift that I've placed inside of you. There's a gifting. Stir it up and serve the body of Christ with it. The blessing of God flows through covenant relationship and kingdom responsibility. The blessing of God flows through covenant relationship and kingdom responsibility. We're already in covenant. We just have to be responsible with our kingdom responsibility and steward what God has given us, and He will do the rest. Amen. Do you know that stewardship is hard work, guys? It's hard work. We don't sit at home and say, God is Jehovah Jireh. Yes, He's Jehovah Jireh. But we have a responsibility to steward. We have a responsibility. When it closes, Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is supreme, so acquire wisdom, and whatever you may acquire, then gain understanding. Wisdom is not natural. Wisdom is from God. Spirit of wisdom. In order for us to make certain things work in life, we need wisdom. Do you know that I don't need love to be married to my wife for 40 years? I need wisdom. Because you can love a thing to bits, but if you don't know how to operate it, you can never use it. Adrian flies planes. I love planes. Why don't I fly planes? I love planes. I can't fly them because I don't know how to. Wisdom. You can love the body of Christ and preach the word of God Sunday in and Sunday out. That's just you loving the body of Christ. Until we get to a place of wisdom, and then we can operate it. Amen? And you and I need wisdom when it comes to our finances. Say amen. We need wisdom. Godly wisdom. There's another option, trial and error. Amen. Google 20 people, write it down, try it, and then someone asks you, don't have to reinvent the wheel. But then there's the Proverbs. And there's a Bible. And there's the Holy Spirit that guides us and gives us supreme wisdom and understanding. And in this season, I believe we're going to need supreme wisdom and understanding. Say amen. Proverbs 14:24 says, the crown of the wise is their riches. The crown of the wise is their riches. The crown of the wise is their wealth. But the folly of fools bring folly. Listen, guys. The crown of the wise is their riches. In other words, wisdom will automatically translate to wealth. For those of you, okay, listen to me. When we say wealth, we don't say money, okay? When we talk about wealth, the church goes like, wealth. Wealth is movable, immovable. Education is wealth. Health is wealth. Okay? Deuteronomy says God gives us the power to create wealth. It says wisdom leads to wealth. The crown of their riches, the crown of the wise is their riches. Ecclesiastes, let me close with this. In Ecclesiastes, we find a king who counseled a whole city. He counseled a whole city. You know, he wasn't respected because his wisdom didn't translate into wealth. The Bible says he was a poor king. Yet he counseled a whole city and no one respected him because his wisdom didn't translate into wealth. When God cuts covenant and says that he gives us the power to create wealth, It's our responsibility to finance the kingdom. Are you with me? And I believe we need wisdom in the season, and that wisdom needs to translate into wealth. Are you with me? Guys, you're looking at me like, Monday is a long way off. We can open the Bible and we can go straight into it. Say amen. Wisdom that translates into wealth. The crown of the wise is their wealth.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to know more about who we are and what we do, go visit our website at bechurch.co.za. You're formed to function. Let's be church.